Good evening. I'm going to set this right by you there, brother. Don't worry about that. Very good. It's good to be here with you tonight. I just want to read to you a verse from God's Word. A few verses ultimately, beginning in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And before I launch into expounding that, I'll just say, by personal word of testimony, I couldn't help but think, as JP was up here saying about how much we have to be thankful to the Lord for being here, 2 weeks ago, Naomi and I were supposed to be in Canada for a youth conference. So we decided, it was in the general direction of our friends Randy and Sylvia Amos, so we decided we'd stop in and spend the night with them, which we did. We went up on a Thursday, had a great night with them, spent the night, got up the next day, drove as far as Batavia, New York, and 2 feet of snow had been dropped on Buffalo in the night before, so we couldn't get through to Canada. We had to turn around, go back to Randy's house, which wasn't a bad thing, spent another night there, got up Saturday morning, left the house around 6 a.m., got 20 minutes down the road. At 65 miles an hour or so on the interstate, we collided with a very large male deer, a buck. I know it's a buck because he deposited one of his antlers on the passenger side floor of the car. Naomi was driving, and I was in the passenger side. I never did see him. I was looking at the radio. I just heard Naomi scream, and we hit him. And the next thing I knew, we were on the side of the road with our windshield smashed. The Lord's hand was so evident in the entire thing because immediately I knew I had glass in my eyes. I could feel it in my eyes. And I knew my head was bleeding. So I told her, you better phone 911. I think we're going to need an ambulance here. But the way the Lord had that deer hit us, he was leaping when we hit him. So the way we hit him, it damaged the front part of our hood, but he didn't hit the sensors in the front bumper that would have deployed the airbags. Now, that's of importance because, of course, Naomi's 7 months pregnant. And if the airbags had gone off, she's the driver, she's the closest to the airbags, it could have been just very damaging to her and or the baby. So we just thank the Lord that, number one, that was a great thing. Number two, my nose was very swollen here, like I had been punched between the eyes by Mike Tyson, and it was a bit scraped up, and since the windshield was shattered and still pretty much intact, I figure that deer's antler came through and hit me in the bridge of my nose as he was going by. So, you know, obviously I could have been poked in the eye with a deer antler. He was just millimeters away from my eye. I wasn't. The glass in my eyes could have done permanent damage. When I got home this past Monday, we went to the ophthalmologist. There was not even a scratch in my eyes. And the way the deer hit the car, he did so much damage, so big was this deer, they had to put a new roof on our car. If he had come through the windshield entirely, no doubt we wouldn't be here talking to you tonight. But the Lord protected us in all of that, and even when I got home, it was so encouraging because a young man that I knew many years ago, I haven't seen him in years, but he came along to the conference and he wrote me and he said, you know, we're real sorry to hear about your accident. We would have loved to have seen you. I was looking forward to it. But he says, don't worry. We had such a fantastic time in the Word. And since you weren't there, the young people had to really step up and take more part in it. And we had a great time discussing New Testament principles. So I said, well, praise the Lord. The Lord just used His Word and used His body to get it all done without me, and everything worked out fine. So you can just pray for me. This week I'll be heading up to get the car out of the body shop in New York State. Randy Amos lent us the car to use, so that's why you'll see us driving around with New York plates. We haven't moved. We're just relying on our brother's charity. But in any case, getting back to the Word, 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I have to say, I really struggled as I was trying to think of what I should share with you this weekend and prayed a lot about it and searched the scriptures and was looking at a lot of different things and really not really decided on what I was going to do until today. But I really want to share some things that are on my heart this weekend, some things that as I look around at the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lands here in the United States, things that I think are real problem areas and danger areas. Because these three great words, they are used so much and they perhaps appear so frequently in the Scriptures that maybe we think that we're just too familiar with them. Maybe we think, well, I understand faith, hope, and love. You know, they're all over in the Scriptures. There's just so much said about them. And we might think that's old hat. You know, we've been to countless weddings, perhaps you say, where we've heard 1 Corinthians 13 expounded. That's pretty interesting because the context of 1 Corinthians 13 has about as much to do with a wedding as flying in the moon. But anyway, we won't go into context. We'll just say, yes, we may have heard it expounded many times. We may have heard people talk about faith, hope, and love. But what do we know about the reality? That's the question that I ask myself as well as you. What do we really know about faith, hope, and love? Because you know something, they are not optional components to Christianity. I want to call these messages this weekend the essentials of Christianity. Faith, hope, and love. Because without faith and hope and love, your Christianity is not going to work very well. Not on an individual level, not on a corporate level when we come together in assembly. It just doesn't work without faith, hope, and love. It is designed to function according to these three great truths, and we're going to see that as we go through, I hope, this weekend. It was sort of brought home to me. I was with a servant of the Lord some weeks back, and he was recently retired in the last few years from a very important job, and he said to me, you know, he said, I look around at my life now, and he said, I get a nice, generous pension check every month, and he says, you know, my wife and I, we really don't have to worry very much about having our needs met or anything like that, and we really don't have any lack, materially speaking. But he says, you know, I remember when we were first married many years ago, and when I was just starting out, he says, there I was going away to my job, and I'd get my paycheck, and then our bills would come in. And he said, you know, I'd look at the paycheck, and I'd look at what we owed, and it didn't exactly match up. And he'd say, you know, we'd wonder what to do about this, and we'd pray. But he said, invariably, when it came time for the bills to be paid, the Lord would provide for us. And he says, I don't have that kind of problem anymore, but nor do I have the joy of seeing the Lord come through and meet my need in that type of manner. And you know, that struck me. I thought about it, and I thought, you know, how unlike American Christianity that so often we want to have everything pre-planned, everything figured out, a safety net for everything, so that we have a contingency plan for every eventuality. And that's nice, except it leaves God out of the picture. I tell you what will bring God back into the picture. That's faith, hope, and love, rightly understood according to the Scriptures. Because all three of these concepts revolve around the Lord. And the danger today in America is with all that we've been blessed with all the resources we have, with all the technology we have, even with all the gifts we have to the church, we can become complacent and self-reliant and fall into a rut of going through the motions. And I have the great privilege and somewhat of a burden as well of traveling amongst many groups of God's people. And many of the things I'll be saying this week, you might say, well, that doesn't really apply to us at New Hampshire Avenue. Well, if it doesn't, praise the Lord and pray that it doesn't someday apply to you. But some things that we say just might hit home if you're keeping your eyes open, if you're alert to what's really going on. Because the danger is that we can get very comfortable with our level of Christianity and with our assembly's level of Christianity and think, well, as long as there's no glaring problems, as long as there are no fistfights at the Lord's Supper, as long as people aren't leaving our fellowship en masse, then everything's okay. But you know, really, the Scriptures would call us back to repeatedly look to the Lord Jesus Christ and examine ourselves in relation to Him and say, now, where are we in relation to Him? Is our faith resting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is our love a reflection of the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, Ephesians says? And is our hope focused on Him? In short, are we living for this age, or are we living for the age to come? I'm not going to preach deep theology this weekend that you haven't heard before. It's just going to be a reminder, I think, of what are the Christian essentials of what we've got to get back to. Now, lest you think I'm overemphasizing the importance of these three words, I'm just going to take you to a few other passages to show you some of their frequency in Scripture. And this is just a quick survey. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And here we read in verse 3, speaking about the saints in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. You see that? Faith, hope, and love there again. All linked with what they were doing. Their work of faith. Why were they doing the things they were doing? It was because of their faith, their trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Word. And then their labor. This wasn't just what they were doing. This was the kind of work they were doing, the intensity of their work. This was laboring to the point of exhaustion, and it was a labor of love for them. Why were they working that hard? Why were they suffering the things they were? It was because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, which constrained them. And then their patience. How could they bear with the persecutions and the hardships and the difficulties that they had to face as Christians? Well, it was because of their hope that one day the Lord Jesus Christ would come for them and reward them for all the things that befell them. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So again, we have faith, hope, and love. Lest you think this is just a Thessalonian thing, let's go over to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. And here is Paul's prayer, verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So again, faith, hope, and love. Over and over we find these words in the Scriptures. Sometimes just two of them. In Ephesians 4, you'll get hope and you'll get faith and love together. In Romans chapter 8, you'll get hope and love together. In many other passages of Scriptures, you'll have two instead of the three. Or maybe one of the three will be a little bit obscured. But over and over, these three things come because they're absolutely essential to Christianity. And I think it's very important that we go back and take stock again this weekend as believers. Where does my faith stand? How is my love? And what about my hope? What is it really resting in? So, I mean, I hope by the end of this weekend that I won't know the answers to those questions per se, but that you'll have asked the Lord those things, that you'll have asked the Lord to show you through His Word how those things are with you. And the same will be for me as I speak to you, that the Lord will be sifting me through His Word and evaluating and appraising the level of my faith, hope, and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's just a little preview. And with that, I'm just going to go away and leave you all and prepare some for tomorrow. So you'll please excuse me.